Just a reminder that I do have a Facebook page. Don't usually put much of anything on there, but I think I may start to put some things on, some links anyway, to some devotions that we use, just to kind of give you some place else to go and look, I guess. But also a place that if you want to contact me and give me some feedback, some complaints, some compliments, some thoughts for future messages, whatever it might be. So if you look for As Is Ministries on Facebook, you should be able to find it. But I wanted to talk about the golden years. Okay, you ever heard of them? And I'm not sure who came up with that. Probably somebody in their 20s that thought older people had it made. And in some ways, we do. You know, you don't have to answer to an alarm clock every morning. You don't have deadlines that you need to meet most of the time. We still have appointments you have to go to more and more all the time. And you don't really have to be in a hurry a lot of times. You know, when we get into the traffic, when we're headed someplace, you know, unless we do have an appointment or whatever we need to get to, you know, my thought is, you know, hey, I'm retired. I've got all the time I need to be able to get wherever it is that I want to go. But I recently saw this on Facebook, and it's comparing 1966 to 2016, and that 40-year difference. And like in 1996, it was long hair that you were concerned about. And in 2016, you're kind of longing for hair. 1966, it was acid rock. And now it's acid reflux. In 1966, you thought about moving to California because it's cool. 2016, you're moving to Florida because it's warm. And that's actually when we did move. But just how things change over time. 1966, you were going to a new hip joint. 2016, you're getting a new hip joint. I'm almost ready to relate to that one, I think. But time changes things, changes our priorities, changes so much over the years. But so let's start with a prayer. Father, we just give you thanks that you are with us from before we're born, you know, from the moment we're conceived. And then when we take our last breath here, then we come into your presence. So, Father, you are always there. Your word tells us you'll never leave us, you'll never forsake us. And, Lord, we know that. Sometimes we may not feel it. Sometimes we may wish you were closer. But, Lord, we know that you're always there, and we just praise you for that. So, Father, help us as we look at your word and to see how you want to speak to us in this message. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I never knew how white my hair was getting until I saw some pictures from our daughter's wedding. There was somebody that was sitting behind us, I think the row right behind us, or maybe the next one, and they were taking some pictures during the wedding, and then they put them on Facebook. And so in every one of those pictures, the back of my head is in the forefront of the picture, and you can see just how almost totally white my hair has gotten, at least back there. And I don't look back there very often. But, you know, I saw something on Facebook that kind of made me chuckle, because it said the whiter my hair gets, the more people think I know what I'm talking about. And the important part of that statement is people think I know what I'm talking about. You know, when kids are little, you know, they think their grandparents especially are just so wise, you know, because they look at them with their white hair, gray hair, or wrinkles, whatever. And, you know, they think, you know, this has to be a really wise person, just knows everything, has been everywhere, done everything. And then we know as kids get to be teens, they think their parents and their grandparents and anybody older than them really doesn't know anything about anything. But once they get into their 20s, they begin to think, well, maybe they know more than what I've been giving them credit for. I think with the technology, there's always going to be at least that hint of they don't have a clue. And when I first became a Christian, and we were going to church and to Sunday, the adult Sunday school class, and there was this one woman that was there, and I thought this woman, you know, was just such a wise Bible scholar and just kind of knew everything about everything, and especially about the Bible. And over time, I realized that, you know, maybe she wasn't as wise as I thought that she had been from the beginning anyways. And I remember when I first became a pastor and I went to a district pastor's meeting. And, you know, I'm sitting there looking around and, you know, I didn't know a lot of the people there. But I thought, oh, man, here I am with all of these pastors. You know, this guy over here, he's a pastor of this big church in the city, and this guy's pastor of this church that's really growing and all. And I think, man, you know, well, it didn't take me long to realize that these guys and gals really had nothing on me. They really weren't any more familiar with the scripture than I was and all. But so just because someone's been doing something for a long time does not mean that they're an authority on that. It doesn't make them the best at whatever it is. So we see that in the working world. Some people, as they get older, they kind of get phased out. You know, different businesses, government agencies sometimes will, you know, offer early retirement to get rid of some of the old people that are making more money. A higher salary or more per hour than younger people that they can put into those positions. You know, plus they want new young people with fresh ideas and, you know, a greater knowledge of technology and all. And, you know, we certainly see it in sports. You know, as you get older, because of, you know, I mean, to look at football, you know, some of these guys, had, you know, this broken and this torn and, you know, this surgery and all. And so their performance isn't what it used to be. And just, you know, old age just don't move as fast or aren't able to get in as good a shape. And so you get replaced by a rookie or some younger player. So what does the Bible say about us old people? Well, Proverbs has many things, but to look at Proverbs 16:31, New Living Translation, it says, "Gray hair is a crown of glory. It is gained by living a godly life." You know, I'll take that. You know, it sounds good to me. I'd like to be able to say there's something good about my gray hair. Proverbs 20:29, it says, "The glory of the young is in their strength. The gray hair of experience is a splendor of the old." You know, that's not quite as flattering because it's talking about how the young have strength and, you know, the gray-haired people just have experience. So how about Hosea 7:9? It says, "Worshipping foreign gods has sapped their strength, but they didn't even know it. Their hair is gray, but they don't even realize they're old and weak." Now, wait a minute. You know, that's not very nice. You know, I realize that I'm getting old, and I realize that I'm getting weak, I guess, too. But I don't have the strength that I once had, and I know that I'm getting old, or, you know, I am old, and I'm getting older, I guess. But 69 was not an age that I really expected to attain in my life, so I guess I'm doing okay. So what has my old age brought me? Well, it depends on who you ask. If you were to ask my wife, she would sometimes tell you that I'm a grumpy old man. And me, I know what I like, and I know what I'm comfortable with. But my old age has brought me some other things too. You know, it's brought me some things that I never expected. You know, a pacemaker. I never thought I'd have a pacemaker. But on February 16th of 2013, the only doctor that I had was my primary care doctor, that I'd go once a year and get a physical, and that was it. Then on February 17th, I fell and tore my rotator cuff, and so after that I had an orthopedic doctor, a cardiologist, a vascular doctor, and a hematologist, and now I'm going to be going to a dermatologist and to a GI specialist or whatever. So I think I've had just about everything but a gynecologist. So what has all of this taught me? One thing, it's taught me that I'm much better off than so many other people. Excuse me. When I would go to the hematologist, his office was used also by some oncologists. And when I was there, I would see the ravages of cancer. These people that were coming to see the oncologist and just, you know, looking at them and, you know, imagining what they have been through. You know, and sometimes my hips hurt. But I can still walk unaided. You know, I don't need a cane. I don't need a walker or anything. You know, I have hearing aids. I have trifocals. But I can see and I can hear clearly. Again, my wife may not agree with that. And a lot of times I don't sleep very well at night. But I have a comfortable bed in our clean, dry, warm, or cool house. I need to lose weight. It's because there's too much food that's accessible, and I like to eat. So, do you know what I need to say to myself? Quit your whining and start getting busy helping others, okay? Because you're a lot better off than so many, many other people. The Apostle Paul struggled with things in his life, and I'm not comparing myself to Paul or to his situation. But in 2 Corinthians 12, the first part of the chapter, first seven verses, Paul's talking about boasting and boasting in the Lord. And then starting with the second part of verse 7 to verse 10 in the NIV, it says, "In order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" And I like the way Eugene Peterson put it in The Message. He says, "Because of the extravagance of those revelations, and so I wouldn't get a big head, I was given the gift of a handicap to keep me in constant touch with my limitations. Satan's angel did his best to get me down. What he in fact did was push me to my knees. No danger of walking around high and mighty. At first, I didn't think of it as a gift and begged God to remove it. Three times I did that, and he told me, 'My grace is enough. It's all you need. My strength comes into its own in your weakness.' Once I heard that, I was glad to let it happen. I quit focusing on the handicap and began appreciating the gift. It was a case of Christ's strength moving in on my weakness. Now I take limitations in stride and with good cheer. These limitations that cut me down to size, abuse, accidents, opposition, bad breaks, I just let Christ take over. And so the weaker I get, the stronger I become." Wow. can we all think of our lives that way? You know, to look at the things that we can't do and say, that's okay. You know, I can't do those things, but that's all right because I know that Christ can, and Christ can through me. Christ can allow me to do those things. You know, when I hurt my shoulder and went through everything I did, I started looking at things in a new way. I had to start living differently. I'd been going to the gym 5 or 6 days a week. I was in the best shape of my life since I got out of basic training. And I was in my early 60s. So I was proud of the weight that I had lost. I liked compliments. I felt good about myself. And I had a lot more confidence in myself. But did you hear what I said? You know, it was all about me. Now, after my shoulder surgery, okay, for 8 weeks, I had to wear this sling that had this foam thing, so your arm was like a foot away from your body, and I had to wear it 24/7. Okay, so for 8 weeks, I was humbled. I couldn't drive. Diane had to give me a shower. I had trouble dressing myself. And a lot of my food, Diane would have to cut up for me. And so I began looking at myself differently. I began looking at Diane differently. I began to look at my work different than I did before. And I re-examined my relationship with the Lord. Now, since my surgery, I've had problems with a blood clot in my leg. And sometimes that limits my walking, limits my working out. And it helps me keep my eyes off of myself and back on the Lord. You know, I believe Paul really hit the mark when he said, "Therefore, I will boast all the more, but gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me." Okay, what he was saying is, you know, when I can't look to myself to accomplish the things that I want to accomplish, I've got to look at the Lord, because he's the one that's going to accomplish anything. I think the hymn writer had it right as well when he or she penned this hymn. "I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk. Let me walk close to thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Grant it, Jesus, is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be." And the second verse says, "Through this world of toil and snares, if I falter, Lord, who cares? Who with me my burden shares? None but thee, dear Lord, none but thee." And then the last verse is, "When my feeble life is o'er, time for me will be no more. Guide me gently, safely o'er, to thy kingdom shore, to thy shore." You know, I think it really hits the mark. You know, exactly what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12, exactly how we should feel as believers. We are weak, okay, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. You know, I don't care, you know, physically, you know, how often you go to the gym, how big your muscles get, or how great your endurance becomes. You know, spiritually, you know, you may know the Bible much better than I do. Probably many of you do. But Jesus proved his strength in each of those areas. Okay, when he was here on earth, he showed, you know, strength, you know, physically, mentally, emotionally, and certainly spiritually. And it says, "Jesus will keep us from all wrong." Well, he will if we listen to him and if we follow him. And walking with Jesus should satisfy every desire that we have. Okay, again, the refrain says, "Just a closer walk with thee. Grant it, Jesus, is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be." If our walk isn't close to Jesus, excuse me, whose fault is it? I try to picture Christian life like this. that you're walking down that narrow path. You know, and as you're walking down that path, you know, you can just look over to the side and you see that big wide road over there, you know, nice and smooth, you know, no potholes, you know, it's straight, it's flat, you know, and that narrow path that you're on, you know, kind of twists and turns, goes up hills and down hills, and you know, there's briars and thorns on the side, different places, and you know, potholes here and there that you got to watch out for, and rocks. And when I choose, I'm right there by Jesus on that narrow path, hand in hand. You know, but sometimes I decide to pull my hand away from Jesus. And he doesn't hang on. You know, he doesn't grab hold of my hand and pull me back. He lets me slip away. And so I get closer to the edge of the narrow path. You know, closer to those briars, but you know, every once in a while there's a place where, you know, you could slip through and you can get over to that wide road. You know, Jesus, he's still there on the narrow path and watching, but I get closer and closer to that wide road. And when I realize where I am, you know, that I'm almost over to that wide road, you know, and you look over and you see Jesus, and he's got his hand reaching out towards you. And his eyes are telling you that it's okay to come back and just continue the journey from where we are. And then once again, you say, yeah, that's right. And you get back into the middle of that narrow path next to Jesus, hand in hand. Daily walking close to thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. You know, like I've said many times, if you don't feel close to Jesus, who moved? It's you, not him. So my old age is not a problem. How do I know that? Look at the people that God used in their old age. Moses, Noah, Abraham and Sarah. I hope we're not going to be having any kids, though, at this time of our lives. But God can use and will use anyone that he chooses at any time in our lives. Okay, I mean, Moses had 101 excuses of why God shouldn't be using him. God should be calling somebody else, anybody else but him. But God wasn't biting. God wasn't saying, oh, okay, I'll just pick somebody else. Forget it, Moses. And Abraham and Sarah thought, we're going to have a child? Yeah, right, sure. They thought that could never happen. Noah was laughed at and thought to be a fool. You know, so I know that my old age is not a problem for me either, that I can be as used by God as I choose to be. And that's the same at any age, because God doesn't call us to something that we're not capable of doing. God doesn't call us to something that we're going to fail in. And that doesn't make any difference of your age. Will I ever pastor a church again? Only if God calls me to do that. Back a couple years ago, I met with the district superintendent of the United Methodist Church where we were. And she had a small church all picked out for me. But I didn't hear God saying, this is what you're supposed to do. So I knew that that wasn't what I should be doing. Will I be able to help out in other ways in the church? I'm sure of that. God just needs to show me where and when and how. So I guess I'll cling to Proverbs 16:31 rather than some of the other scriptures. It says, gray hair is a crown of glory. It is gained by living a godly life. Well, I got the first part down, got the gray hair, and I hope that I've been doing the second part in living a godly life. And hopefully that's helping someone else to come to know Jesus, because that's what it's all about. Because a relationship has to begin. Okay, you can't start down that narrow path until you've begun the relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's only done through believing that Jesus Christ died for your sins and he rose from the dead and he's coming back again. You have to believe that Jesus is indeed the Son of God and that he died for you because he loved you. And that there's nobody that's had too much sin in their lives that they can't be forgiven. And Jesus has come to me now because the scripture says that he died for us when we were still sinners. So we need to be ready to believe that. We need to be ready to accept that and to give our lives fully to Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.